Blog Talk Radio.
Okay, but before we get into that,
let's go with some prayer and praise and worship music to start us out. Amen. Okay, here we go.
Nothing stays the same. Heaven is waiting for the mention of the name.
Thank you. God will break you to position you, break you to promote you, break you to put you in your right place. But when he breaks you, he doesn't hurt you. He doesn't. When he breaks you, he doesn't destroy you. He does it with grace. Ah! Anybody been gracefully broken? Or... Thank you, Lord. Thank you. So, Father, tonight we're broken before you. Thank you for handling us with grace.
Here I am, God, all the while. Amen.
blessings are, no, they come from the Father's heart, not the sky, not change. The truth is, I'm not lucky, I'm loved.
Mm-hmm. We'll just let all my listeners know that the chat room is open. If you want to chat and talk, okay, to other people that is here, you can always go to the chat room and type in whatever you want to type, okay, and talk to other folks. Okay, well, I'm going to play another song here called You Waited.
You called out my name. This amazing grace you show, so patiently, you show, so patiently, and
let's get into the message now. Are you ready for a great message? This is testimony for the Christ child, taken from Matthew chapter 1, verses 18 to 25. Well, if you have everybody, please bow your head for an opening prayer. Dear Father in heaven, you let us see and feel your great goodness toward us, Lord. Grant us the inner help to be victorious in the Savior, Lord. Rejoice to be by your side with faith and loyalty, Lord, and with the strength of soul that frees us from all burdens by laying them in your hands, Lord. Hear us as together we pray to you, Lord. All we ask and long for, Lord, all our concerns down to the very smallest, Lord, we lay in your hands. In the one great request that your name be glorified on earth as it is in heaven. And we pray this in the mighty name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Well, think about this word testimony for a while. In legal terms, testimony is a form of evidence obtained from a witness who makes a solemn statement or declaration of fact. It may be written or oral. Generally, an opinion or an inference is not allowed because it has no basis of substantiation. You see, if you are called as a witness, you gave offer testimony only about which you know firsthand. However, what is called as an expert witness is an exception. This witness is called to render an expert opinion because of his qualification by virtue of his education, training, skill, and experience. So in our text, I believe we discover an expert witness, giving expert testimony about an expert person who will change the course of history. The angel is an expert by creation, experience, skill, and assignment, and furthermore, this angel is bearing the testimony of Jehovah God about God's Son, Jesus, coming to earth. You see, in this testimony is a message which holds the offer of hope, of peace, and of life. This testimony reminds us that God is in charge, watches over all that happens, and has a plan for you and me. He has placed full confidence for his plan in his Son, and the angel testifies to this faith. I offer 4 points. One is protection. In our society, before a baby or a child is given to a couple, the adoption agency carefully checks out potential parents. I don't know the entire battery of checks which they go through, but I understand it to be extensive. I would guess that their finances are checked, their ability to care for a child would be analyzed, and that their character would be scrutinized. And the adoption agency wants to make sure that they have chosen the right parents for the child. Consider the extent of a human agency that goes through to place a child in the right hands, and compare that to the scrutiny given by God to Mary and Joseph. God was placing his own and only son into the hands of a couple of his created being, and those two were not just chosen arbitrarily. See, Mary and Joseph were a couple about to get married who kept their lives morally and spiritually pure. Did you hear those two terms, morally and spirit? They are in order, but are also interchangeable because you will never be spiritually pure while living an immoral life, but you will never live morally pure while living an unspiritual life. So the moral code you break may not be necessarily be sexual, but morality will lose its appeal when you try to live apart from the relationship with God through Jesus. You see, Mary and Joseph were obviously God's chosen parents to protect Jesus from some of the things of this world. Think about this: when Jesus was threatened by Herod, scriptures record Joseph on speaking terms with angels who told to take Jesus out of the country to Egypt for protection. Joseph was the man who would uproot his entire family at the divine call of the Father through his messenger. Scripture tells us that God's Spirit hovered over Jesus all along his earthly journey. And Luke 2 tells us he was strong in spirit and God's grace was upon him. In Matthew 3, the Spirit of God fell like a dove at his baptism and upon the Mount of Transfiguration. God's Spirit fills once again. Every step Jesus took from birth to death to resurrection to ascension was guarded and guided by the Father. Why? Because the second point of the angel's testimony, his paternity. the very reason this truth is important is to establish who his father really is. The text tells us that Mary was made pregnant by the Holy Spirit. This made Jehovah God his father and Mary his mother. But he was not 50% God and 50% man. He was 100% God and 100% man. Because of his paternity, he was the God-man. There had never been one like him. There is none like him, and there will never be another like him. John 3:16 says, God gave his only begotten Son, the one and only, one who is special and unique Son. There are many ways we know this. From the scriptures, we know that Joseph was put off by the fact that Mary was pregnant before they were married. Additionally, verse 25 tells us that Joseph didn't know Mary in an intimate way until after Jesus was born. Furthermore, at least twice, God pronounced him from heaven as personal affirmation that Jesus was indeed his son and that he was proud of him. By the way, fathers and mothers give a part of themselves to their offspring, like it or not. I'm partially like my mom and partially like my dad. So are you. The miracle of Jesus is that he is totally human like Mary. This means that in his humanity, everything you and I had learned him had to learn. Everything we had to deal with, he had to deal with. Everything we feel, he felt. How important is this? It is important to remember that 33 years later, when he died on the cross for my sins and your sins, he suffered intense pain of the scourging post. He fatigued under the weight of the 120-pound cross, remember, okay, as he carried it toward Calvary. His body jerked in pain as the nails were driven and his eyes watered as the crown of thorns embedded into his head. The nerves and muscles of his body were on fire as he hung on the cross. The humanity given by his mother was there. The divinity of his father was also present. In his human pain and suffering, Jesus was able to see the larger picture of what was happening. This is how he held his peace in front of his accusers. This is how he prayed for those who were driving nails. Father, do not hold this sin to their charge. And this is, he said, this is finished. His earthly ministry was finished. Sin's stranglehold on mankind was finished. Death was finished. And God's plan was finished. Only because of his paternity could this divinely happen. Jesus was the human son of Mary and the divine son of God. So let's look at his promise. We already know that God's messenger, the angel, has testified as to God's protection for the Christ child. Because of the Father protects his Son, and we have seen that Jesus was fully God and fully man. Our finite minds cannot comprehend all that this means, but through Holy Scripture we know it to be true. Jesus was a child of promise after promise after promise. In his birth, Jesus fulfilled a huge number of Old Testament prophecies. After a little investigation, there were over 300 prophecies which were fulfilled in Jesus. Years ago, I heard John Hagee give the illustration that odds of one baby fulfilling all these scriptures could be likened to placing silver dollars side by side, touching deep in this over the entire state of Texas. Not just one layer, but six layers deep. In this mass of silver dollars, there would be one marked silver dollar. He said the odds of you walking out in the state and picking up the marked silver dollar is one cry is about the same as our baby fulfilling of all the prophecies in God's word. This week, I read that the odds of you getting struck by lightning in a year is one in 700,000, while the odds of being struck and killed is one in a million. To only fulfill only eight of those over 300 prophecies is less likely to experience a lightning strike. I went through those stats to illustrate just how unlikely it is that eternity of the Old Testament points to one child. Yet it does. And it is Jesus. And Jesus is the promise of the Old Testament. Prophets in the hearts of Jehovah God. Look at verse 22 and 23. Read. This is a reminder of the prophet Isaiah. He is Emmanuel, which means God is with us. Can you think about that just a little while? When God created mankind, he did that he could have fellowship with us. I love the Genesis passage which said, God walked with Adam in the cool of the day. This is the God's desire for us to walk with us in the cool of the day. When man chose sin over God, the walking together could no longer take place because where sin is, God isn't. In fact, God hates sin so much that when his son became sin, he shut off the light of the sun so he didn't have to look at it. Yet he sent Jesus. He sent a part of himself to dwell with us. The King James says in John chapter 1:14, the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. The HCSB says he took up residence with us. The Greek literally means that he pitched his tent among us. When someone pitches a tent, it means that they are living as you live, and yet as planning to live permanently where you are living. He is God with us. He was promised and given to us by God for a specific reason. Let's look at his purpose. I find that there is a great deal of confusion about Jesus today, and certainly there are confusion in his day. Today, some see Jesus only as a good man, a name to swear by, or a fine religious leader. He was indeed a good man and a fine leader. But according to the religious people of his day, he wasn't very religious. To use his name to swear is blasphemy. Some think he came only to make their lives better and to serve them, and to service their every desire. Jesus lived the original purpose-driven life, and his purpose was simple. Do we understand this? He came to save people from their sin. This was the message of the prophets and the angels, but it was also the message of Jesus. In Matthew chapter 9, verses 12-13, he says, well, people don't need a doctor, sick people do. I didn't come to call the righteous, but the sinners. Consider this message and ask, why wouldn't Jesus want righteous? Could it be because the righteous are self-sustaining and self-sufficient and self-assured to the point of arrogance? So they need nothing, will surrender nothing, and literally will sacrifice nothing? Perhaps these people are the very ones who cannot be changed. From reading of the Gospels, Jesus always went to the extra mile to assist anyone who was open to the Gospel, but he wasted little time on those who resisted and rejected. His message, he didn't come to argue, debate, or force people to follow him. He came to give the offer of forgiveness, hope, and salvation to every man, and his offer is still good today. The testimony from the angel for the Christ child is that he came to save his people from their sins. Now that this testimony has been given and closing argument made, here is a pertinent question. Do you believe and will you receive it? It's time we celebrate the birth of this Christ child. He came to us that we might come to him. Have you come to him? Well, there was a preacher named Jordan who was invited to preach for a pastor a week before Christmas. Okay, during the service, he noticed that there was a manger scene on the altar. But on closer inspection, he saw only farm animals by the lighted barn. He couldn't find a baby in the manger. When the time came for the sermon, he walked to the altar and asked the congregation if they had seen Jesus. Everyone looked perplexed. He told them, I looked all over the altar, but couldn't find the baby Jesus anywhere. A woman in the choir responded, I know where he is. He's still in the box we haven't unpacked yet. So, the question is, have you unpacked Jesus in your life today? This concludes the sermon. So let us pray. Dear Father in heaven, give us childlike hearts so that we may find and understand everything in the right way, Lord. Grant us the work that bears fruit despite our faults and weaknesses, Lord. Because we want to work with the understanding given by love, Lord. Father in heaven, you know that we are faced day and night with many difficulties and setbacks, Lord. But you see us, Lord, and you will help us so that your name be honored, Lord. Your kingdom may come, and your will may be done on earth as it is in heaven. And we pray this in the mighty name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Well, this brings me to the most important question of all. And that is, do you know the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior? If you do not, that's okay. Because you will have a chance to within a moment. Okay? Let me ask you, are you tired of walking aimlessly through life, not knowing which way is up or down, confused all the time, not knowing what is right or wrong, okay, or, okay, maybe you're suffering from some kind of depression or anxiety, or maybe you suffer from an addiction such as alcohol, drugs, sexual immorality, okay, overeating or gambling. I mean, the Lord can take that away, but and guess what, folks? In order for him to do so, he's got to know you. And if he doesn't know you, he ain't going to do nothing for you. So I ask you, do you want to know the Lord Jesus today? If so, please say this simple little prayer after me. Say, Lord Jesus, for too long I have kept you out of my life. I know that I'm a sinner and that I cannot save myself. No longer will I close the door when I hear you knocking upon it. By faith, I gratefully receive your gift of salvation. I am so ready to trust you as my Lord and Savior. I want to say thank you, Lord Jesus, for coming to earth. I believe you are the Son of God who died on the cross at Calvary for my sins and then rose from the dead on the third day. So once again, I want to thank you for bearing my sins and giving me the precious gift of eternal life. I believe your words are true, so please come into my heart, Lord Jesus, and be my Savior tonight. And we pray this in the precious name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Well, if you just said this prayer, we here at God's Rainbow Ministries want to welcome you into the family of the Lord. We want to say may the Lord bless you, and may he always keep you highly favored. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. Well, we're going to play a song here, okay? It's called All Come to the Altar. We do this after every altar call.
Come to the end of Yeah.
problem here. We have a technical problem with our music.
How great is our God?
from the inside out. Oh, look, Ted, I need you too. Yeah, I need you too. I need you, Ted.
Good night, folks. Have a blessed night. Bye-bye.